Let's turn to a completely different area. Traffic engineering, traffic management. So, suppose you have a network, and somehow you need to move flow, some flow from one point to another. Okay, you want to analyze how this network behaves. On this network, you have some traffic. You can think of two concrete examples: roads, so traffic in the usual sense, cars. Or you can think of a network of computers, or little tiny fragments of the internet, or let's say a private network in an office or in a university department. The problem is the following. Let's check on this network here. So if you think of traffic over roads, what flows on the network are cars. If you think of an internet network, they are packages. Let me call it simply the flow. The flow, a certain amount of flow comes into the network here and leaves here. And all the flow that comes in has to come out. Let's say that if this is the origin, this is the destination. Or you are just taking care of a part of a network. You would like to predict or to know how the traffic distributes over the network to go from here to here. What's the difficult line here? It's the following. The time you need to cross a link depends on the traffic on the link. So think about the road. Think about Via Buonarroti here. So you go through it at midnight. You take 20 seconds. You do it at lunchtime. You take a couple of minutes. You may take a couple of minutes. Because at midnight you are the only user. You are the only one going through the street. At lunchtime it's heavily trafficked by old people going home or going to take children from school and so on. So the question is meaningful, because if the traffic, if the time to cross a link were constant, all you had to do is to choose the fastest path and send all the traffic all over this path, Or if there are constraints, you could, constraints on the maximum amount of traffic on a link, you could simply solve a minimum cost flow problem, And so there would be nothing I could add it to you. But the fact is that here you have congestion, so the cost here is a function of the traffic. And this is called somehow, so we are modeling a traffic situation with congestion. And this is standard in traffic analysis, since the unique networks that were considered were roads. Since that time, this is pretty standard stuff. So how do you model this problem? There are a few things to take into account. So let's say we have a fixed amount, a fixed quantity, given fixed quantity D, that enters the network here and leaves the network here. Okay? So, I want to know the traffic on each link, so the variables will be Xij for all pairs ij such that ij is a link, is an arc on the network. Okay? So, first constraint you surely have is that this quantity, this amount of flow on a link for R is way greater than zero. Then what do you have? So this is a classical problem of linear programming network optimization. Okay. All that comes in at a node, except the first and the last one, has to get out. Okay? No traffic must remain stuck in a node. Okay? So what you have are flow conservation constraints.
Is that any cycle?
Sorry?
Is that any cycle in the graph?
In my graph,
could be,
but is that a trouble? If you remember network linear programs for network optimization, that is not a trouble. Okay. You simply take care of the situation for every node. Okay. So if this units come here, and these units come up here, so if and all other nodes are transition nodes, cycles do not create problems, okay? I mean, yeah, okay, you can, my example we don't have, but suppose you have, you may go round and round, but sooner or later you have to go away, because everything has to get out here, so what you could create is a larger amount of traffic, but a larger amount of traffic will turn into a higher cost. Okay? So the optimization procedure will, if you have a cycle and you add, full traffic on that cycle, that solution will never be optimal. Okay? Because our cost function increases as the level of traffic increases. Clearly, if you have a situation where the cost function decreases with the amount of traffic, that would be a meaningful point. But that is not realistic at all in any application, okay? More traffic, more time. So I think almost all of you have met flow conservation constraints, so I will be just brief for Hamad and Amkay. Here. So suppose you have a node, let me call it 3, a node 2, 4, and 5, and suppose there are just these arcs among these nodes, okay? So, the quantity x to 3 goes from 2 to 3, and the quantity x 4 3 is the quantity that goes from 4 to 3. And similarly, x 3 5 is the quantity that goes from 3 to 5, okay? Here, in 3, there are no other nodes. Flow conservation means that the incoming total flow must be equal to the outgoing total flow. So in my example, x23 plus x43 must be equal to x35. Okay? And you repeat this request for all intermediate nodes. Okay? And you do the same also for the origin nodes 10 and 11 in our example, remembering that here there is a fixed flow incoming D, so it's not variable, and here there's an outgoing flow D, which is not variable and constant. So the flow conservation here is true as well, adding the flow that you know that comes in or comes out again. Okay? So you simply add a fixed flow here, and so that is a constant value and not a variable. So here, so you have non-negative constraints, all these types of flow conservation. Let me just write flow conservation constraints. No, okay, flow conservation. Notice that flow conservation constraints are linear constraints. No more than that. And then what? Then I have to make some assumption in the following way. How would I like to the traffic distributes all over the network? Okay. Let's say, for instance, then I want to minimize the total travel time. Okay, the total travel time. Let's see, how much is the travel time on an Earth? Okay, it depends. The travel time depends on the quantity. On the quantity of flow that is on the Earth, and it is xij, okay, and then it is a function, okay, a function that may depend or may not depend on the Earth, but it's a function. Let's not specify it for the time being, okay. This is the time that a unit of flow is required to cross the link ij if on the Earth ij there is this quantity of traffic, xij. Okay? How many units of traffic I have on the Earth? Xij. I give you a simple example. Suppose you have a car on the Earth. Okay? The time needed to cross the Earth for the car is Cij 1. Okay? Suppose you have two cars. The time to travel the Earth for each car is Tij of 2. Okay? But you have two cars. So the first car will take this time and the second time will need exactly the same time. So the total time is two times this one. Okay? So on each car, the time that the flow spans is given by this expression here. You sum all over the arcs, and this is our total travel time. Okay, which I wish to minimize. So we have the sum is all over all the arcs. Okay? I wish to minimize this travel time subject to flow conservation constraints and, let's say, positivity constraints. Okay? So, minimize a function which is likely to be, which will be non-linear, over linear constraints. Okay. So once again, it's a situation in which the constraints are linear, and so the condition of Regen matter by Frederick Wolff could be a nice problem. Thus, there's one thing I did not tell you at all, and the one thing is
how these functions are done. Okay, these are called congestion functions because they give you the travel time as a function of the traffic on the link, on the arc.
So, there are at least two,
which are commonly used by traffic engineers. The first is called time block, and you will understand the name in a minute. And as an additional requirement, the traffic over a link cannot exceed a certain capacity. Okay? So that if you use this function, there is an additional constraint, which is xij is less or equal than a maximum capacity. Okay? xij less or equal than cij, where cij is the capacity of the arc. Okay? And the form of the function is this one. Suppose that the traffic on the link is a positive quantity b, okay? No negative quantity b. Okay. If p is zero, you replace here, you get t. Okay? T is a constant value, and it tells you the time you need to cross the link if there is no traffic at all. Okay? Ideal time. And then you have this quantity here, which depends on the parameter alpha. We will discuss the parameter in a minute. And it is b divided c minus b. Okay. C is the capacity of the link. Okay. So as b goes to c, this term, the numerator goes to b, and the denominator goes to zero, so it blows up. It goes to platinum. Okay? And this is what happens here. Okay? In my example, I have chosen t, the ideal time to be 1, c to be 1 as well. So as we are approaching 1, the time blows up to plus 1. Okay? And the parameter alpha is just needed to make it blow up earlier or later on. Clearly, the smaller alpha is the after it will start low. Okay. Here, this should be blue, black, and red, but I see that in this projector, red doesn't work at all. Okay, so red is this one. Okay, red is 4, and you see it starts blows up later. Okay, than the other two. So this is one possibility. Just remember that this possibility requires a maximum capacity for the link, which is reasonable to some extent. If you take via Buonarroti, you will never take 1 million cars on that way, on that street. Okay? Or also, if you have computer connection, the cable will not bring more than some amount of packages per second. Okay, so it is not an unreasonable assumption. It is very reasonable. There is another congestion function which is used a lot as well, and as this name, it's called the congestion function by the Bureau of Public Roads. The Bureau of Public Roads is an organism in Chicago who studied traffic management problems for the city of Chicago. And in the 50s, late 50s, they come up with this function here. According to their experimental data, they thought that this was a reasonable function to model congestion. Okay. The shape is the same as the other one. There is an ideal time t, which is the one you get to travel the link when there is no traffic, because this quantity will be zero. And the term you ask according to the traffic depends on the parameter alpha, and that is given by the ratio between V and some reference capacity C. Okay. Now C, in this model C is no longer the maximum capacity, okay? It's a reference capacity. Okay. V over C to the fourth power. Okay. So, if V is smaller than C, that term is less than 1, and so taking the fourth power decreases the value. Okay? If V is greater than C, then it blows up with the fourth power. Okay? Don't ask me why they chose the fourth power. Okay? From a mathematical point of view, that function of function of t is convex, so it's nice. Okay? But actually, if you choose any even value for the power, it is convex. But actually, it is convex even if you choose 3, 5, or 7. It is not convex on the full space, but it's convex on the positive line. Okay? Then we are interested in the positive line. So they come up with this. So this function starts to blow as soon as V gets equal to C. I'm sorry, my picture is with C equal 1, and it was not very good choice to stop the graph at 1. Here it is where it starts to explode. Okay? From this point, here the growth is somehow limited, and then it will grow. It will grow fast. Okay? So I will show you examples with both these models. There is another reason to prefer this one, apart from the fact that it was developed from an organization devoted to the study of traffic management, is that you don't have capacity. Okay? For the time being, you don't get why a capacity could be a trouble. I try to give you some reason at the end. Okay, so I try to perform some simulation on this network here, where 20 units of flow enter from node 10 and get out at node 11. Okay. The links have three colors. One should be red, but it's black. Okay. Another one is yellow, but should be green. And another is blue, and should be blue. Okay. What does it mean? Green means it's a fast link. You run through it pretty fast. Okay. Blue is average, and red is a slow link. Okay. In green links the congestion is not growing fast. On red arcs, let's say black arcs, it grows fast. Okay. So you would not expect to have a lot of traffic on black-red links. Okay? My choice was to make the fast one not very useful to go from the origin to the destination. Okay? Because here you see the network has some layers. Okay? And the fast parts do not move from one layer to the next one, but just inside the same layer. Okay, so it was a choice just to see if the flow does something. Okay, this is reasonable, and these are slow. So I take this one, but then this is slow, so I could switch here and take this here, and so on. Okay, something like that. So if we want to check data are here. The green arcs, I chose this coefficient. So So you should check all the code to understand the meaning of the fixed parameters.
But these are the parameters that you get here in the congestion function. So the real time, the alpha, and the c. Okay. The first one is
t. So for green arcs, I choose t equal to 1,
fast arcs.
For blue arcs, I choose 4,
so 4 times more.
And for red arcs, I chose 10.
Okay. So this is the ideal time, it's no traffic.
And then I chose references. References to be 20 on fast arcs,
so you can have in the time blow model, it's the maximum capacity. In the model with the public, the congestion by public, the Bureau of Public Roads, it's the reference, so it's 20.
For blue arcs and red arcs, I chose
10 for both. Okay?
And then the intermediate coefficient is the alpha. Okay? I took the alpha which is small for green arcs,
so it grows up, it doesn't grow up fast.
I choose 0.6 for the blue arcs and
1.5 for the red arcs, so it blows up earlier. Okay? So just take in mind this, that
green, yellow are fast, blue are standard, and red, black, red are slow arcs.
Okay. So, and then I run the Frank Wolf algorithm, which is here. What do we need is a starting point. Okay. How did I choose a starting point? Since I decided to have 20 units flowing through the network, and the capacity on the red and blue arcs is just 10, okay, I cannot choose to send all of them to this fastest receptive solution, because they are 20, and the capacity of these two arcs is 10. Okay? So I chose to send 10 over here and 10 over here. Okay? That is what this is telling me. Okay? X1, X6, X13, and top is 20, the flow I chose, and so it's half of the flow. And this represents the way I number arcs, okay, in my solution. So I can run the algorithm. I can, let's run for instance the model with the time blow congestion. Okay. Oh. And this is the solution I get. Okay?
On arc 10-1,
this amount here,
on arc 10-2, this amount here, and so on.
Okay? And let me memorize this as x time blow. Okay. So, and the optimal value is 707, it's the time unit. And, okay, just check, I did Frank and Wolf, so it took 16 iterations, okay? Just compare with the previous application, it was 500 and more. What's the reason of this difference? The reason is simply that, though in both cases, we have just linear constraints. In that case, you have just a few vertices. Okay, so the procedure was switching from one to another with high frequency. Here we have a lot of low conservation constraints. We have no negative constraints,
so the polyhedron is more complex and has more vertices. Okay? So it runs, 16 iterations is pretty good. Okay?
Then I can rerun the same problem with the other kind of congestion. Okay? So now the capacity is a reference capacity and it is not a maximum capacity over the arcs. It takes 22 iterations, a bit more, and the solution is this one. Okay?
I mean, there's not much to say about it.
Just let me X. Let me just keep it in memory. Okay. And the optimal value I find out is 550. Oh, let me memorize also the optimal value. And I wanted also to memorize the previous example, so let me rerun it again. So it's pretty fast, so each time blah equal f at x was higher.
Please notice that the two optimal values are pretty different, okay? But this is not a problem at all, because I changed the objective function, okay? So when I made my model, and here I chose that time block, here you had an objective function. Here you had some expression. When you choose the congestion function of your own public roads, here you have another function. So you are minimizing different functions. Okay? So it's not a mistake. Okay? Not like before. What I can do is to run the same problem with the same data with the projected gradient method. Okay? I mean, in the previous example there was a strong reason for doing that. Okay? The number of iterations was extremely high. When I will fix the error, the mistake on the code, it will be fine. But here, actually, the number of iterations was 16, 22, so not a big deal. But I want to show you for another reason. So let's run the same model, but rather than using the conditional gradient method by Frank Wolf, we use the projected gradient method. Okay? So let's do the case of time blow first. Okay. Why? So that's pretty. This is pretty strange. Okay, it took a very high number of iterations. I didn't expect this, 262. But first of all, I want to check. I want to memorize the optimal solution and I want to check the optimal value. You see, the optimal value here is 696, while here it was 707. So it's not very similar value. Okay, the difference is meaningful. But I solved exactly the same problem. Okay. This is what we said earlier. The solution here is this one, and let's put together the solution of the. Did I make it? Okay, I did not memorize it. XTB. Probably I cleared.
Yeah? Okay, so they are, oh, since I cleared, so I don't even have, yes, okay. Since let me run them again. So XTV is equal to X and FXTV is equal to F at X. Okay, so now I should have them all. Okay, so here you can compare the differences R by R. Okay? On some arcs the differences are meaningful. Okay? And also if you check the norm of the difference of the two vectors, it's not that small. Okay? And also, if you check the relative error of I'm not doing it this way. So one objective function was roughly 707, and the other one was roughly 697. Okay, so if you consider the difference between them, oh, it is 11. But if you take the relative difference, okay, between the best one and the other one, you get 2% of difference. Okay, what is the reason of this difference? The reason of this difference is the stopping criterion. Okay, the same thing I told you before the break. Okay. The two algorithms use different stopping criteria. The Frank Wolf consider a threshold on the optimal value of the linear subproblem, while the projected gradient method takes the difference between the current iterate and the projection at the end of the iterate. Okay. So in the first case, the difference, let's say, is in values. Okay. While in the second case, the difference is in points. Okay. So they may lead to some differences. Okay. And here, this difference is amount to a 2% difference in the values. Okay. I could do the same also for the other model, the model with the congestion function by the Bureau of Public Roads. The difference will be a bit larger, okay, than 2%. It would be around, I think, 5% or something like that. But the reason is exactly the same. Difference in the stopping criteria. Okay. So, remark, suggestion, when you want to compare algorithms with generated infinite sequences, please use the same stopping criterion. Okay? Otherwise, the performance of the algorithms and the results are not really comparable. Okay? In some situations, it is not possible to do this. But if it is possible to exploit the same stopping criterion, please use it. Use just a unique one. Okay? So I don't run that. So here you have just a clear picture in by which, by simple algorithm of optimization, you can start analyzing some meaningful situations. This is a tiny, tiny, little tiny network, but you can perform on a larger network and you can perform more complex problems. What I want to end up this session with is a remark. Okay. Somehow, in this example, we consider the management of the network as centralized. Okay. I mean,
here it is, total travel time. Okay? And
I set up the values for all the variables. Okay? So, is it reasonable or not? If
this is a local computer network, it might be reasonable. I'm the administrator and I decide how to route packages and so on. Okay?
If it is the internet, this is completely unreasonable. There's another situation where it is not so reasonable, and it is streets, roads, cars. Okay? Each user runs his own car and decides his own path. Okay? So, actually, I want to minimize my travel time from home to work. You want to minimize yours. And if our street cross, we may get into some congestion situations, okay? But I cannot decide where you go, okay? Suppose the major every morning sends us a message, tomorrow, this morning you have to do this path, and you this morning have to do this path and so on, okay? It doesn't work this way. So it is some way to make a prediction, but it's not very realistic. And also over the internet, we may share the same network, but I may send and route my packages, and you may send and route yours. Okay? What's the big difference is that there is no one that runs all the variables. Okay? I run some variables, you run some others. Okay? I wish to minimize some function, you wish to minimize some other function. My travel time, your travel time. The thing is that these problems are not independent, because the path I choose for my car or for my packages affects also your travel time and vice versa. Okay? So these optimization problems are related, are strongly related. Okay? I can try to predict your behavior, you can try to predict my behavior, and choose a path according to that prediction. Okay? So, in that framework, optimization becomes a tool, but optimization alone is not enough. Okay? And that leads to multi-agent systems, that leads to the theory of games, to Nash equilibria, and a lot of stuff we don't have time to analyze in this course. But just take in mind that it exists. And actually, if you want to know, I study more nowadays. I study more that kind of problems than pure optimization. Okay, so just take in mind that. Most of the problems of optimization generally have a centralized view. Okay? You must be able to run in applications all the variables, to choose the values for all of them. Okay? While in concrete situation, it is not always so. Okay, so that's it. Just a view on applications.